who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, New Year's Eve, December the 31st, 1977. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Midwinter Camp Meeting, being held at Hot Springs, Arkansas. The speaker of the evening is John Boney.
Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your blessing to rest upon John this evening. The anointing of the Holy Ghost to flow through him. The wisdom and knowledge to come unto thy people. We may not live in darkness, but we may be enlightened for the day in which we live. That we may walk in that day for the glory of God. And we thank you for the knowledge you're giving unto your people. We praise you for it. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the day that we live in, we're not about to produce programs. We're in a people business where we're seeking to mold lives for the sake of the gospel. I mentioned to you this afternoon that there are many people who never crack the pages of this book. There are very many people who never crack these pages. But they look at your life and they scrutinize it. Because according to the word of God, you are manifestly declared to be the word of God unto the people. I think it was Sunday night when we were speaking, we mentioned the fact that most of the church today is living and operating under a curse. Because according to Ezekiel 44, God had put the people under a curse, so that they could no longer minister unto him, but they had to minister unto the people and unto the things with regard to the tabernacle. And you notice that curse is evident in all of Christianity. It's evident in all the programs of the church. And I want to tell you tonight that witnessing is not something that you do. Amen? Let me use some incorrect grammar, but you have the point. Witnessing is something that you be. Amen? What does Acts 1:8 say? He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You see, before the Holy Spirit was given, the people already had authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out lepers. They had the authority of God to do that. But beyond that, they needed the power of the Holy Ghost to mold their lives so they could be witnesses. And it is as they were scattered about, they became witnesses wheresoever they went. Brother Miller was pointing out that sometimes the King James Version does an injustice to the original language. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, you often hear some of the great missionary conferences, you hear them turn to this portion in verse 19 and say, "Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." The emphasis of the original language is not on going. The emphasis of the original language is not on going. Going from here, let's say for instance, to Africa, doesn't make you a missionary. It may make you a tourist, but not a missionary. I use a rather crude example. Going from here to Africa, you as much a missionary as taking a pig and putting it in the garage next to the car. It doesn't work. And the emphasis of the word here is going therefore into all the world, teach all nations. Or disciple all nations. The only imperative here is the teaching, the discipling. But while going, do that. And this is the thing the Lord wants to emphasize before us, that it is while we are going, our lives are supposed to reflect the indwelling Christ. You see, and that is why at Antioch, the folks were first called Christ ones, Christians, because they looked like Christ, and the men took knowledge of them that truly they had been with Jesus. And again, that's involved in building lives for God. Men and women who would radiate the life of Christ in this earth. Would you turn with me, please, to Hebrews? And this afternoon I mentioned to you from Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to talk. Let me read from verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You're not come to a mountain that can't be touched with fire, but you'll come even to a greater mountain. Zion. The general assembly of the firstborn. You want to share with you a little tonight about Mount Zion. Look at me in Psalm 74. In understanding the restoration of the purposes of God, there are many different metaphors, many different names that the Lord used. And as we pointed out to you some time before, Mount Zion was the place where David established the ark and put it in a tent. And it's the place where he set up worshippers 24 hours a day on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion began to be called the place where God dwelled, God's holy hill, God's holy mountain. But all the prophets after that began to speak of the fact, even after things had moved on from Mount Zion back to Mount Moriah, all the prophets began to speak of the restoration of Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the people that God has purchased of old. Use the word, the overcomers who would rule and reign with him. That's what we're speaking of tonight. Part of the restorative purpose of God is to bring again Zion, to bring forth such a people. Now let me just jump to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Now let me begin from the very big chapter. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? All those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is born of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox, if he slew a man, he that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck, he that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood, he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fares upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Let me pause here. Now, many of you know this by experience. Some of you have the precious privilege of being given the left foot of fellowship, and you were told that they were doing it for the glory of God, for the sake of his kingdom. He said, let the Lord be glorified. But I'll tell you, it's not so much they that kicked you out, but it was the shepherd himself that kicked you out. It was the shepherd himself that gave you the left foot of fellowship. Keep your finger right here. I'll be right back to it. But turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And read verses 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And what's the next thing he does to them? He leadeth them out. And when he put it forth, and the word they put forth is ekbalo, when he kicks them out, when he kicks his own sheep out, he goeth before them. Praise the Lord. So if you got the left foot of fellowship, you understand that the shepherd is going before you, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I want you to understand that it is a stated part of the purpose of God for some people to be kicked out. If they were not kicked out, they wouldn't get out. Amen. They wouldn't get out if they were not kicked out. And we are so stubborn, God had to arrange to get us out so we could follow him. And if some of you are still there, you wouldn't be growing any more in the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13 again. Hebrews chapter 13. Let me just read verses 12 and 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Amen. Let us go forth following the Lord Jesus outside of the camp, outside of the gates, his reproach. You know, folks will come and ask you, what church are you from? And well, for us, he tried. And well, we go to that group that meets in the basement of a Masonic hall. And immediately there's something else is at you. As though you've got some kind of a disease. And you're bearing a reproach and a stigma. As it were, because of that. But blessed be God that even in that reproach and in that stigma, you're following the Lord Jesus outside of the camp. For the shepherd is leading and you're following him. For those of you who are still at ease, I pray God kicks you out in a hurry. Amen. Just as well he does it now, because it's going to have to be done sometime if you're going to go on with the Lord. And after he kicks you out, he's going to associate you with a group of people who are moving forward in him. But I pray God does it for you. Back to Isaiah 66 in verse 5. Your brethren who cast you out, they said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear, he shall be revealed, he shall be manifested to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. I tell you, when the Lord Jesus in his purpose is manifested, there are many people, many Christians who have spoken, who will hang their mouths in shame. Because just as we read this afternoon, there are many people who speak evil of things they don't know. And the biggest persecution that you and I come into come from Christian people. But if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And you're going to be persecuted too for righteousness' sake. But verse 6. A voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendeth recompense to his enemies. Verse 7. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, he brought forth her children, like verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, said thy God? There was a day when it was said, in Isaiah 37 verse 3, where Hezekiah said, this day is a day of trouble, and a day of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It was spoken thus, but I believe the day in which we live, God, by the movement of his Holy Spirit, is bringing forth, is causing to be brought forth on this earth a man-child. God is causing to emerge out of the midst of churchianity a man who's going to rise up and stand strong. When you read in Ephesians chapter 4, for that which God is bringing forth, let's turn there and read for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. And you know, even as I think of this, every bone within me wants to leap for joy in understanding the purpose of God. in understanding that which God is doing. From verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Where if we said when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me pause to tell you that the Lord brought you here to bring you into a measure of perfection so you could do the work of the ministry. The Lord brought you here to bring you into a level of maturity so you could go out and do the work of the ministry. That's verse 12. For the perfecting, for the maturing, for the completing of the saints to do the working of the ministry. For the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. The foundation has already been laid, and the building is taking shape by living stones who are being fitted together by the joints, by the bands, by the ligaments that the Holy Spirit offers. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, and that's the man child that God is bringing forth now. A perfect man. And what is the measure of that man? That man is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, if you wanted to put it in physical terms, if Christ is 10 feet tall and weighs 500 pounds, the man that is being brought forth now will be 10 feet tall and weighing 500 pounds. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 3 verse 19, the prayer was that they might know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, and that they might be filled with all of the fullness of God. In Galatians 4:19, Paul travailed again. He was in birth pangs once again until Christ be fully formed within them. That's what we are talking about in God bringing again Zion. That is God bringing forth a man child. And sometime on your own study through Revelations 12, and you notice that God brings forth a man child. On this earth, a people who have overcome. Hallelujah. And that's what God is doing in this day. I believe God is quickening by His Spirit in a way that never has been before. And He's bringing forth an overcoming company. I believe He's doing it. He's bringing forth a people in the Spirit and power of the prophet Elijah. God is doing even that in this day. And the thing that amazes me more and more is that God is doing it through you and through me. He's doing it in us. I no longer say, well, Lord, I hope one of these days I'm going to be an overcomer. I hope it. I begin to confess, Lord, I believe that you're working in me this thing. I believe that you're working it in me. And my confession by faith is, I am, I am. I am. Hallelujah. I am. Well, you know what the Word of God says? It's like the kids have the story of the little engine. I can, I can, I can, I can. I can do all things through Christ. And I like the way the Spanish has that. The Spanish says, todo lo puedo. In Cristo que me fortalece. All of it I can. In Christ that fortifies me. I like that. All of it. Whatsoever the issue is. All of it I can. In Christ that fortifies me. And that's what God is accomplishing. Bringing again Zion. I pray God there's a quickening in your being. I pray God there is a stirring in the boneyard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm 120. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. I believe that out of the womb of the body of Christ, there has been a cry of distress that has gone up over the past few hundred years. Somehow a cry for the fulfillment of the purpose of God. I believe in every century, in every movement, there have been a people who have seen the purpose of God and have cried for God to do it. They may not have expressed it in the same terms that we express it today. They may have expressed it in other terms. But yet in their spirit there was something being spoken that they were desiring. And we are privileged in this day and in this age to be witnessing the answers to their prayer. What they prayed for in this very day at the end of the age, it's coming upon us. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I'm not going to read through all of these portions. I want you to read through, as I said, Psalm 120 to 135. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Again, we're still talking, not about going into a church building, folks, but going into that house that God is building together. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem, a Jerusalem that is the mother of us all. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. I believe this speaks both of praying for the peace of literal Jerusalem, but also for the peace in spiritual Jerusalem. You have to pray for the peace. And you know, the word shalom is one of a group of four Hebrew words. Now, shalom is very often translated peace, but it's a group of four Hebrew words that mean perfection, completeness. So when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you're praying for the perfection, the completeness of that Jerusalem. Peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say peace. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. And I like Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Now Zion is captive. In this particular case, she's held in Babylonian captivity. It still is today that Zion is held in captivity to the religious system. But when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, it's going to be like a dream. You're going to be dazed, as it were, that which you see. Then was her mouth filled with laughter, and her tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. It's quite a commentary that the world always seems to notice what's happening among God's people before God's people notice it. Because something began to happen. The heathen said, the Lord had done great things for them. Then suddenly, the people of God took it up. Oh, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And to some of you, verses 5 and 6 are particularly precious. They that sow in tares shall reap in joy. Do you know God bottles up the tares? The word of God says that. They that sow in tares shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless bear in precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing precious, bringing his sheaves with him. And I'll just read Psalm 127, then I'm going to have to stop. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Did you see all the houses that were built? They have labored in vain. Because the Lord's going to do that. And down it's going to fall. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is in vain that he rise up early to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. O children are an heritage for the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The Lord's just going to bring forth children and use those children as arrows to shoot down the enemy. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. The Lord said the church that he's bringing forth, there is not a single gate of hell that be able to stand against it. Why? Because the children will just speak with the enemies in the gate. Speak forth the word of God. You know, the Lord showed us some time ago that as we were ministering, there were gates and walls that were standing against us. And it wasn't a vision. We could see beyond the gate, but there was just a thin film that was standing there so that we couldn't go. And remember, we were seeking the Lord, Lord, what is this impregnable wall that has hindered us from going ahead in your purpose? And in those particular circumstances, God said, denominationalism. And we began to pray and take authority and speak with the enemies in the gate. and we begun to see the Lord tear them down. A particular, I won't mention what denomination, but a particular pastor, and some of the folks had come from his church, and they'd gotten delivered and saved and filled. And he was telling them they were crazy. He wanted to send one particular girl back to the psychiatrist and send her back to the asylum. But yet from him came an invitation to come and hold a meeting in his church. And he saw God just begin to open those doors. Well, you just spend some time studying the Word and you notice God is building again Zion. He's building again Zion. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. What's it? It's Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the name of the Lord.
Great is the Lord. The joy of the whole earth.
Again, and as we sing it, you know what I want you to do? Give a wave offering to the Lord as you sing it. Amen? Give a wave offering to the Lord. And some of you still don't look as though He has really made you glad. Well, maybe you need to offer a sacrifice of praise unto God. Amen? Offer a sacrifice of praise unto God, for with such sacrifices, He is well pleased. Amen? All right. I will enter His I will enter His courts with praise. I will say the things that the Lord has made. I will rejoice over Him. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice over Him. Yes, He has made me glad. Well, He has made me glad. Jesus is the way that we rejoice and be glad in him. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way that the Lord has made. Amen? Amen.
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way.
This is the end of this. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.